Coming. We pray that God will bless our meeting together, and may the Lord's hand be upon us for good tonight as we open the scriptures together. As Genesis chapter 6, I want us to read a few verses from this passage of God's word. We'll commence reading at verse number 5 of Genesis chapter 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved God at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth also was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And the Lord said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. And then it says in verse number 22, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. We pray that thou will bless thy word to our hearts tonight. We pray that, O God, you'll give this preacher the power to preach it. O God, we thank thee for thy help already given in the studying of it. And I pray that thou will help me to minister it faithfully for the glory and the honor of the name of the Lord Jesus. Thou knowest the hearts of this congregation. And, O God, I pray that thou wilt search out the hearts of any tonight that is without Christ or those that have wandered from thee. And, O God, I pray that business may be done for eternity, even in this gospel tent. Lord, hear and answer our prayer. Do it for Jesus' sake. And do it for the honor alone of Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen and amen. Now, in this sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, of course, we have the story of the Noah's Ark. And it's a familiar story indeed. Whenever many people talk about Noah, they will speak naturally, well, that's Noah's Ark. And we have indeed pictures, we have movies made about searches for the Ark and other things. And sad to say, many people make jokes about Noah's Ark and they laugh at God destroying this earth with a flood. But you know, friends, there's something much more than simply the ark that I want us to notice in this passage of God's word. I want you to keep your Bibles open. And I want you to follow us just exactly what God has got to say. I want you to notice, first of all, a divine pronouncement here. Look at verse number 13 of chapter 6. And God said unto Noah. I want you to notice there's a pronouncement which God said. Now, why did God say what we are recorded here is God having said? It says, the earth, the end of all flesh has come before me. The earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now, why did God say that? Why was this pronouncement made by God? Well, go back to verse number 5. And it says this, and God saw. We've got God said. Now it says, and God saw. Now, what did God see? Here's his discernment here. It says in verse 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. I want you to notice it says here, and God saw. Now, man didn't see it this way. It was God saw this. As far as man was concerned, friend, let me tell you, there was nothing wrong. And you know, where people are living and people are dying and they see there's nothing wrong as far as their lives are concerned. They don't see sin. They don't see that they're sinners in the sight of God. No, they think they're all right. And as far as God is concerned, They're all that God needs, and they're everything that they need as far as time as eternity is concerned. They do not see as God sees, but it says, and God saw. Why is it, my friend, that God sees differently than you and me? Well, the Bible says the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And man's heart is so deceitful that he will lie to himself. He will lie to his own soul, and he will believe a lie that as far as his soul is concerned, he's not a sinner. As far as his soul is concerned, he is all right and doesn't need God's salvation. But you'll notice what God saw. It says here that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. This wasn't some localized wickedness, but it says here it is the wickedness in the earth. In other words, it is everywhere. And God said the wickedness was great. It was great. In other words, it was very intense. It was deep wickedness that God saw. And when God looked into the hearts of men and women, this is what God saw. That every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. In other words, the imagination of the thoughts of man's mind was polluted. It was bent on fulfilling his own deceitful lusts. Man's mind was stimulated by lewd and sensual living. And of course, the word of God says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I believe one of the greatest attacks of hell today is upon the mind. The devil's attacking the minds of God's people. The devil is attacking the minds of men and women and bleeding them into the depths of sin. You see, if the thought life is polluted, then it's not long until the action of what they believe and what they think is put into practice. My, whenever you pollute the fountain, then you can understand, friend, it brings forth a well of iniquity. And that's what God saw. God saw that the imagination, or every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, was only evil continually. And my friend, let me tell you, when God looks into the heart of the sinner, he doesn't see just a nice wee person. God sees a sinful heart. And God sees us in our sin, in the depths of our depravity, without Christ and without hope for all eternity. And that's what God saw here. Every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. I wonder, do you know what God sees in your heart tonight? God knows all about you, friend. God knows your thoughts. God knows not only your thoughts, God knows your actions, God knows your idle words, God knows everything. There's nothing that you have to tell God about you. God knows it. Thou, God, seest me, and thou knowest me altogether. And you know, we have got men and women today, and they're corrupting and contaminating their minds with rottenness and pornography and magazines and Hollywood with nothing. There's nothing wrong anymore. There's nothing evil anymore. And yet that's not what God sees. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Look at verse number 12. This is what God said. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. That's what God saw. It was corrupt, it was rotten, it was putrid, it stank in the very nostrils of God. Man had corrupted his ways, they had cast aside all of God's boundaries. Isn't that society which we're living in? They've cast aside all the boundaries that God has made for the home and for the family. You see, friend, let me tell you, God says they were corrupt. In other words, they were living in daring sin. They were living in open rebellion against God. And sinner, let me tell you, that's you. That's where God found me. That's where God found the preachers that are even in this meeting tonight. That's where God found us. God found us in our sin. And in our sin, we were living in open rebellion against the God of heaven. Notice it says here, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Verse 11, the earth also was corrupt. Mark these words, before God. Before God. In the very face of God, friend, there was no limit to the corruption. It was filled, it says, the earth was filled with violence, with cruelty, with oppression, with ruthlessness, with disregard for human life. And isn't that another sign of these days? Let me tell you, friend, they think about taking a child, a little baby's life, and casting it aside and putting it into the rubbish bin. See, God says society in that day was corrupt. It was an earth that was filled with violence. And that's what happens whenever they abort the child and kill the child from a mother's womb. It's violence against that little one. But of course, the Bible says, in the days of Judges, every man did that which is right in his own eyes. In other words, there's no restriction. And friend, let me tell you, that's what they want to tell us today. That there are no restrictions. That you can do whatever you like. And you can do what you want to do. And nobody, not even the preacher today, has any right to say you can't do it. Let me tell you, my friend. Yes, you can do what you want. But remember, you're answerable to God. Because God will bring you to account. You'll not do what you like. You'll not live like you like and do what you like and then die as you like and think that God has no say, because you'll find this out. That the God who gave you life itself is the God who has the right to bring you to account, and He will. You can be dead certain. He will. And that's what God saw, friend. It was corrupt. And the old earth was filled with violence. Listen, before God. They did it in the face of God, friend. They didn't care. And that's how the sinner lives. They're living for themselves. God doesn't count. God doesn't come into the story as far as they're concerned. I'm the boss of my life. I've got my hand upon the wheel, preacher. Dare anybody tell me I can't live as I want to live? Yes, you may. But remember, there's a price to be paid. We have God's discernment. But notice God's disappointment. Look at verse number 6. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him. It grieved him at his heart. It's amazing this. Notice their sin didn't grieve them. No, they loved it. But it grieved God. Let me ask, God looks at your life, friend. As God examines your heart, tell me, does your life grieve God? Grieve God. Now, the interesting thing, you see that word grieve, it is a word that is connected with love. Because you do not grieve for those you do not love. It reveals the heartache of God over sinners. He says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and live. And as I read that again today, friend, and I thought about how it grieved God, it reminded me of David walking after his son Absalom. And Absalom had rebelled against David. But David loved his son. And as he stood at the side of the grave of Absalom, he heart grieved. Because he loved him.
He says, "Oh, Absalom, my son. My son Absalom, would God that I had died for thee. I would have gladly given my own life for your son." Why did he say that? Why did David say that concerning his son whenever Absalom tried to kill his father and his father had to run from him? I'll tell you why. "I'd have gladly died in your place." Because David was ready to go and Absalom wasn't. David was going to heaven and Absalom was going to hell. And he was grieved. He was grieved because of the sin of his son. And now he's paying the price. And it grieves God, friend. As you go on living the way you want to live, and doing what you want to do, and my living in open rebellion against the God of heaven. And God reaches out that hand of love and mercy and grace toward you, but you're casting it aside because as far as you're concerned, you don't care. Do you remember the Lord Jesus Christ? He stood there in the Mount of Olives and he looked over the city of Jerusalem. And down the face and down the cheeks of the lovely Savior, I see the big beady drops of tears. And it says this, "And Jesus wept over the city." Why? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. "How oft would I have gathered thee as a hen would have gathered her brood under her wings. But ye would not." And as God looks at sinners in this meeting tonight, how many times has God sought and God sought after you? How many times has God called you? How many times has God spoken to your heart? "How oft would I," says God, "but ye would not." And God sees his patience has been abused and his offer of salvation ignored. It broke the heart of God. And it grieved him at his heart. But that's not the end of the story, friend. Because not only do we see the discernment here in this pronouncement, not only do we see its disappointment, but notice his decision. That's what God said. Verse 13. "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." You know what God's saying here? God says, "Here's the consequences. Yes, you can have your sin. There's no doubt you can leave this gospel mission. And you can go back to your sin and just go back to living for yourself and your sin and your selfish, sinful ways. But listen, remember, there's always a price. There's a price to be paid." God says, "I will." Not "I might." God says, "I will. I will destroy them." That's God's decision. You see, friend, the last say is with him. Don't forget that. After your life of sin, after your life of pleasure, after your life, my friend, of living for all the things that you wanted to do, remember, God's the final say. And you stand before him. And God says, "I will destroy." Remember, God said to Adam, God says, "Adam, of all the trees of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. The day that thou eatest thereof, Adam, remember this, thou shalt surely die. There's a price to be paid. And friend, there's a price for your sin. Romans 6, verse 3, or 23. The wages of sin is death. You see, God not only warns Noah of what he's going to do, but God has the right to do it. Don't forget that. Look at verse 7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. Yes, he has the right to do it. You remember what Job said? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. He's the right to do it. And remember, God has not only the right to give you life, but God has the right to call it from you. God breathed into man and he became a living soul, but God has the right to take that breath from you at any moment, at any hour of the day or of the night. You say to me, but that's happened in Noah's day. But that's not today, preacher. That's not the story of it. Now you're preaching an old story. Friend, do you not know what Jesus said? Turn with me. Keep your hand there. Turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. This is what Jesus said. The Savior himself was speaking here. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, in verse 37, it says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and they were drinking and they were marrying and they were giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. See, this story is relevant for today. This very day. And here we find that man's living for self. It says here they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were giving in marriage. Listen, life was just going on until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And then God wrapped it up. Notice, no room for God here. They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. God's nowhere there. And friend, let me tell you, the society which you and I live in, they want everything but God. They don't want God. God only interferes in their life. God would only stop their pleasure-crazed living. God would only stop them in their sinning. And they don't want God. They don't want God's restriction. They don't want God's standards. They don't want God's law. You remember when Jesus came to this earth and said this, there was no room for them in the inn. That's it today. No room for God. Room for pleasure, the hymn writer says. Room for business. But for Christ the crucified, not a place which he can enter in the heart for which he died. There's the divine pronouncement. But notice, secondly, the divine plan. Go to verse 8. It says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amidst of all of that sin, friend, let me tell you this here. Noah was a sinner too. It doesn't say Noah earned grace in the sight of the Lord. It says Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. Noah didn't deserve what God gave him. Because you look at the life, the whole life of Noah, and you'll find, friend, that Noah sinned also. grievously. In chapter 9, he sinned grievously. But he found grace. Now, grace is the unmerited favor of God. It is sovereign grace. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God was under no obligation to save Noah. And God is under no obligation, friend, to save me. But God did it, not because Noah deserved it, not because that Noah earned it, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In the midst of all of this evil, what do we have? We have the manifestation of the grace of God, the sovereign grace of God. And I'm glad in the midst of all the darkness of this day of apostasy and evil and sin in this nation, let me tell you, thank God, God's still saving. And there are souls that are finding grace in the eyes of the Lord. Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if God was to save you? If God was to save you? You see, what we find is that as you read on these verses, that the grace of God that was manifested, or that was in his heart, was manifested in his life. And it says there in verse 9 that he was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. You see, whenever a person is saved, there's a change. There's a change. If a person, let me tell you, can make a profession and there's no change. People tell us about so many people and they say, oh, you know, there's so many professions. Friend, I'm not interested in professions tonight. Couldn't care about professions. What we need is possessions. We need men and women to be gloriously, wonderfully saved by the grace of God, changed by the grace of God. Their lives changed, their lives altered, never to be the same again. And what was the secret of Noah's life from that day? Thank God, not only did he find grace in the eyes of the Lord, but when God spoke to him and God warned him, he believed the word of God by faith. He trusted God by faith. By grace, he is saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. And God told him what God was going to do. God says, I will destroy. And God says, Noah, build an ark. And the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 11, he was moved with fear, friend. And that's another sign of the last days. There's no fear of God before men's eyes. People are not afraid anymore. Used to be that sin was done in secret. But man today does it in your face. Man's brazen in a sin. But there's no fear of God. You know what the Bible says? The fear of God's the beginning of wisdom. And God said, verse 13 again, God said unto Noah, I will destroy them of the earth. And then God said this, make thee an ark. Make an ark. You know, when God says, I will destroy, there's the divine power, friend. God says, I will, that's sure. God says, I will destroy, that's severe. And you see, when God says that, friend, don't you think God's fooling? Noah knew what God said he meant. What God was going to do, he would surely do. And it was a fearful thing. That's why the Word of God says he was moved with fear. He feared God. You know, the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. A fearful thing. Tell me, when God says, I will destroy, has he the power to do it? Yes, he has. When God says, the wicked shall be cast into hell and all nations that forget God, has God the power to do it? Yes, he has. Don't you think that God's fooling when God says Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And Noah, it says here in the last verse of chapter 6, and Noah did according to all that God commanded, so did he. He believed God. And as he worked, he warned. For we're told in 2 Peter chapter 2, he was a preacher of righteousness. Why do I stand in this pulpit tonight? To say these things, to hurt you? No. Because I love you. I warn you. Ezekiel, God says, Son of man, warn them from me. Warn them from me. Sin, when it is finished, and it will. No matter how much sin you get, no matter how much sin you taste, you'll drink the last cup of sin one day. You'll commit your last sinful act one day. And then it's over. You'll never sin again. But you'll answer for the sins you've committed. And God is the power. God says, I will destroy. Hebrews chapter 2 asks the question, how shall ye escape if you neglect so great salvation? Friend, you won't. You won't. There's no escape from God. But notice the divine purpose. Go to chapter 7, quickly, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Notice I said, the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house. Nobody else. Nobody else. And for 120 years, Noah preached and pleaded with men and women that God meant what he said, but nobody listened. And God says, come thou. There's the first come in the Bible. The gracious invitation of God, come. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. But notice verse 4. We've got to go through this quickly. For yet 7 days, and I'll cause it to rain upon the earth. 7 more days. That's all. The years have now passed. It's coming down to 7 days. And I believe with all my heart that Noah went out. And I believe that Noah pleaded with the people. God says there's only 7 days. And then God says, I will send the rain upon the earth. The judgment's coming. They looked at him. They thought he was a fool. How many times have people walked past? Whenever the preacher has stood in the open air and has been faithfully calling men to repentance, and they think you're a fool. There are those that will think we're fools for standing and you sitting in a gospel meeting like this to hear a preacher preach us a message. But listen, friend, yet 7 days, that's all there is. And then it came to the last day. And God says, Noah, come into me. Let me tell you, my friend, Noah took the step of faith, believing God, and he stepped into that ark. And that's what you need to do to be saved. Take that step of faith. For that ark's Christ. You've got to come to Jesus. God didn't say to Noah, go in. No, God says, come in. Why? Because God was there. Come in here with me. And he took the step of faith. And God made him safe. Look at verse 7. And Noah went in. He went in. And his sons and his wife. And his sons' wives with him into the ark. Because of the waters of the flood. He stepped in. He took God at his word. But here's lastly the divine preservation. Look at verse 13. In the self same day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and the sons of Noah, Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after his kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut them in. Yet 7 days, Noah. And then it came the last day. And God shut them in. Thank God they were sealed. They were safe. They were secure in the ark. You know, Noah didn't design the ark. God did. And you know, the plan of salvation that I'm telling you tonight in Christ Jesus is not the plan decided by the Free Church or any other church. It's the plan of God's salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. And friend, listen to me carefully. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus is that way. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And you can say to me tonight, preacher, you take your way and I'll take mine. And she won't see how we'll end it all out at the end. Let me tell you, my friend, what an awful way to go into God's eternity. And at the end of the journey to die without Christ. Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. It's only Jesus. He's the only way. He's the only door. You know, there's only one door in that ark. Only one way in. And there's only one way to heaven. And that's through Jesus. And when God shut them in, then the flood came. Judgment fell. But what about those who didn't come? Doesn't tell you about those, does it? Oh, yes, it does. Do you know who tells you about those? Jesus did. Go back to Matthew chapter 24. And in Matthew chapter 24, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking about this, he said this. Verse 38, as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. They were swept away under the judgment of God Himself. You know, I thought about that. I thought about when that door was closing and the people were standing outside, and as they saw the door closing, they said, "What a fool. What a fool is this man. Now the door's shutting. Poor Mrs. Noah, the door closing. Poor family, having a header of a father like that, and the door's shutting." Friend, listen, they knew not until the flood came. They didn't believe it. And I'll tell you this, my friend. I believe with all my heart that there's men and women that have sat in gospel meeting for years and years and years, and they'll never believe it until they go to hell itself. They never really take it in. It couldn't happen to me. I could never go to hell. Until the flood came and took them all away. Because remember this, while God shut Noah in, He shut everybody else out. Opportunity over. You can't play with God, friend. You can't play with God. God's not play acting here. This is real. And God took them all away. You know, when the flood came, I can see some of them. And they run to the door of the ark. And they knock on the door and they say, "Noah! No, open the door, man. Come on. We know what was said, but we were wrong, Noah. My, we were fools, Noah. Open the door." Let me tell you, my friend, even if Noah wanted to open that door, he couldn't. Because Noah didn't shut it. And God shut to the door. And the door that God shuts, no man will open. And friend, let me tell you, it'll not matter tuppence what the preacher says at your coffin. It'll not matter tuppence what the preacher says in your, to your family or your friends to give them hope and comfort. It doesn't matter what he'll say in the pulpit when he's giving his tribute about what a wonderful person you are. Let me tell you, my friend, you'll be in eternity. And the preacher will not change your destiny. And if you died without Jesus Christ, you'll be in hell forever without Him. And the Lord took them all away. I can hear them cry, "Noah, open unto us." And then I hear the cry getting fainter and fainter and fainter, friend, as the waters come over their heads. And then there's silence. For they're taken all away. But listen to me carefully. Whilst the crying stopped in the day of Noah, and there was a silence around that ark as the ark lifted up in the waters and men and women perished. Remember, in hell, the crying never stops. Because the soul in hell will cry forever. It says there shall be wailing, there shall be weeping in hell forever. What a fool. Oh, the regret for a man and woman that died without Jesus and went to hell with a gospel in their ears. I knew the truth, but I didn't listen. I heard it. He warned me on the Armagh Road. He begged me to come to Christ. He told me where sin would take me, but I didn't listen. And now, to be eternally lost, shut out from God forever. For Jesus said, where I am, you can't come. Listen, he invites you to come tonight. He says, come to me. And I beg you in Jesus' name tonight, I beg you in Christ's stead, come and be reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus, through the work of the cross, through what Christ did for you at the cross. Thank God the plan of salvation was made clear. There's the ark of refuge. Come. Come in. Come into the ark. And Noah came in. And the word of God makes the way of salvation plain for you, friend. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth or trusteth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You don't need to go to hell, friend. For Christ has died. He bare my sin upon his own body in the tree. And all the hell that was due for my sin, thank God, he bore it for me. And I will never perish because of the saving grace of a sovereign God. People say, Noah, you're a failure of a preacher. No, friend, he wasn't. Because Noah watched his sons and his wife and their wives walk into the ark. He got his family in. May God grant that your family will come to you. That the Lord closes them in with them. Let's pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, thou knowest the hearts of everyone in